Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 220 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am excited to bring you this interview with Joseph Queller from JQ's Tex-Mex Barbecue in Houston. This one is really, really interesting because initially I thought we'd do some backstory and then go right into food. But for the first 10, 15, 18 minutes of this, we talk about life and we talk about where he grew up and how things were as he grew up, because he grew up in the country, and how things were simpler and slower. And then we talk about city life, and we go into his work life after he turned 18, and it's a pretty intense job that he had. And we talk about how much time he spent doing that and how it's taken away from his time he spent with his daughter, and how with COVID it's given him an opportunity to see his daughter more and spend more time and bond, and how that wouldn't exist if it wasn't for this crazy pandemic. So this is not exactly how I expected this to go, but it's all in the most wonderful way. We do talk about his pop-ups and his food and how he got into barbecue, and how the barbecue family, people like Ernest Cervantes and Robert Sierra and Robert Jacob Lerma and Patrick Fegis, all these people that kind of lifted him up, and JC and Fulmer, who had the throwdowns in Houston. And so there's that, and that aspect, and how important that is, and how important it is to let that family assist you. And then, and of course, Evan Leroy's name comes up again, and some advice that Evan gave him that is instrumental in a lot of things that he does. And we talk about his birria and his chimichangas and his tamales. And one of the cool things that came out of this is that at the end of August, early September, he's going to have a truck. He's having that truck built right now. It's almost done. It's being built in Georgia. And then once that's set up and ready, he's going to be parking that somewhere, and will be open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. High quality stuff, probably still do the pre-order things, but everything he does is deliberate, make the food stand out, be delicious, amazing quality, utmost customer service. It was a very refreshing, wonderful conversation. I'm so glad that we got a chance to connect, that we've been trying to connect for a while, so this actually happened to be the perfect time. I know you guys are going to really enjoy it, and if you're digging these, please subscribe, that way you don't miss out. Subscribe on the YouTube side if you're just listening to the podcast. There's a YouTube version of this at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. Check it out. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints with all the podcasts, all the YouTube stuff, compilations, different things I'm doing. I'm putting a lot of content. It's all in celebration of barbecue and barbecue joints. So I want it to be a place where you can come, spend an hour, 2 hours, 10 days, whatever, and really, really see why I love the people and why I love barbecue so much. And hopefully it'll get you inspired. If you're a small joint, big joint, maybe you'll find some inspiration in a side dish or a dessert from a different place. So there's that. The Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is sponsored by Treaty Oak Distilling. Check them out at treatyoakdistilling.com. But at the end, stay safe. I hope you enjoy this. Thank you, Joseph.
Cool,
how things are so different, huh?
It's weird, man. But it's, you know, at the same time, I'm here with her. So I've spent 15 years machining for 60, 70 hours a week, and I've never really had a chance to bond with my daughter. So
see,
at the same, as bad as it is, you know, at the same time, I'm actually get to, you know, like find out who my daughter is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that we'll all take from this, is that special connection that we have with our loved ones, because no, we never would have gotten this ever.
Right. Ever, ever.
Yeah.
No.
And it's like for good and for bad, like you, but it's still, I think that, yeah, that's amazing. Machining. So let's go ahead. Did you grow up outside of Houston?
I grew up mostly in Houston, but I did a lot of back and forth between like the country. So like Lake Jackson. So like if you go like towards Ronnie Killen's joint, down on like Pearland, and you just kept going down 288 for about 45 minutes, that's where you find us.
Oh, wow. What was that like?
I considered myself like a country boy more than I did a city, you know, city kid when I was growing up. You know, after about second, third grade, we really settled down in Houston and kind of moved to Spring Branch and went about being city slickers. Versus
what is, that's so funny. It's interesting to hear that, because a lot of people don't know what was the country life like? What would that
it's
be?
It's slow. It's slow, man. It's much slower than city life. And it's hard to really quantify what that is, but I mean, as a kid, I guess, you know, now I'm nostalgic about it, but, you know, even then, you know that you're kind of almost more carefree, because there's less things to worry, less dangers around you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's better.
Like, is it, I was reading something, I'm reading a book, it's Nick Offerman, the guy from Parks and Rec, the guy that played Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he talks about how he would make his own fun. Like that's what, then they live on, they live like on a farm almost.
It's funny that you say that because I was about to mention, like, instead of worrying about like city dangers, you could just like jump around on bumblebees and squash and like make a game out of squashing like bees and wasps and like until you got stung, like little weird things like that. It's just different about, see, we had our own like chickens in our chicken coops. And so I was, you know, raising chickens with my grandmother when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
That's really... like, you're waking up in the morning. Your job is to go and clean the chicken coop, grab the eggs, bring them in for breakfast. You're eating the fresh eggs right there. And like one of my most diehard memories of growing up like that is my grandmother taking one of our chickens. I guess it was their time. She, you know, and by dinner that night, we had fried chicken, parted it, fried it. I mean, and I have the cast irons that she used for that. I was probably like 7, 8 years old.
See, that's really cool. And that's actually like another thing when I was reading that last night, he was talking about how you saw that progress, like that you have a pig or something. And then that pig was on your table like 2 weeks later or something. It was just,
I mean, and it really connects you to the animal mm-hmm. in a way that you will never get.
And to your food and what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, you raised that animal. It had a purpose mm-hmm. versus just it gave us eggs, you know, it gave us life, it gave us, you know, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And then when it came time, it served its ultimate purpose. And, mm-hmm. and you have that connection on the farm. You don't have that connection going and buying, you know, an 8-pack of drumsticks from the
grocery store. You know? And that you let go bad in your fridge. And then you're like, instead, like, you're not going to do that to the chicken that you
raised.
Yeah,
there's no waste. There's no waste on a farm.
That's interesting. And that's a special thing that you have. And it's hard to probably instill that in your daughter, or it's, you try your best, but it's also just, you, to grow up that way is special. And it was a different time too. You're probably a little bit younger than me, but things have changed so much. And now look what we're dealing with. How is your family dealing with this?
We've actually been pretty, you know, pretty okay. Now my sister did test positive. She called us and told us that she tested positive 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She should be coming out of it now, but she's high risk because she's a cancer survivor. So it's like you have all these things. And then of course everybody was so scared, and you know, that fear is kind of leveled out. And now you really have to pay attention to those around you that really, really mm-hmm. need it. And you know, it's no wonder why things like masks and things, you know, social distancing is so important because of people like my sister mm-hmm. that you would never know walking around that she was ever sick because she's recovered, you know, and she's fine now, but still, she's still high risk and had, mm-hmm. and it had a chance to turn because of the nature of things. So
was she hospitalized?
Luckily it was still a mild case. So as far as that goes, even for the high risk folks, she's one of the lucky, but a lot of people that are high risk.
No, usually not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the biggest concern. And I saw someone, this is like early on, like in March, and probably around the same time you talked to JC around then, I saw a kid outside of an elevator in my complex. And I said, you're not going to wear a mask. This is getting kind of crazy. He's like, well, I'll be fine. I'll survive. And I'm like, well, your grandma might not, or your uncle or aunt. Like that's who you're protecting.
Yeah. You know, behind a screen, you kind of focus. I look at your screen as like blinders for a horse, you know, like you focus so much in about yourself. And you kind of tend to forget even the people that are important to you, how important it is for them to be safe. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, the screen in general, like for a lot of things. Yeah, that's actually a great analogy. Like just in general, people are just so focused on promoting themselves and being themselves. Like it's a weird world.
It's a very weird world. And we didn't grow up in that kind of world. Uh-uh. You know, we grew up in an analog world where phones were rotary and mm-hmm. you waited for your important stuff in the mail for 2-3 weeks. You know, like we're the last kind of uh-huh. connection to that old.
Yeah, life. Like it's now, it's like so fast. Like there's no turning back. My dad used to get checks in the mail from a business and then sign them and then mail them to the bank.
And then mail them right back out, right?
Like, for deposits, he'd mail to the bank. And I'm like, really? That's what people did?
And the reality is I miss a lot of the simplicity mm-hmm. of the way the world was. And that was, like going back to the farm, that's, you know, it didn't get more simple than that. Mm-hmm. It was your chores, you had fun, and then you had dinner. And that was, You know, it was that was it.
Yeah, that's
what.
Well,
now today it's like, especially in the world today, like now you got to wake up, get your kid on Zoom, you know, get your day started, try to do your social media, you know, and promoting your business, and then get your kid back on something learning because they've been watching, you know, Bluey all day now and you didn't even notice it. No, it's just it's a weird world, man.
It is
you
bizarre.
Order a car part and it's here in the morning. And it's like, okay.
That is so crazy.
You have to wait like 2 months.
No, it's so true. From then, where did you go? What did you end up? What career path did you take?
So right out of high school, I had a buddy that I graduated with and he had his brother-in-law was in a machine shop and I had just signed for a job to wait tables at this place that's no longer even around. It's called Amazon Grill.
Okay.
And I was going to literally wait tables. And he was like, hey man, I got this job. It pays like 14 bucks an hour. It's night shift. It's like 12, 14 hours a night. But, you know, it's good money. And I said, okay, yeah, that sounds better than being a waiter. And from that moment on, man, this was a grind shop, a carbide grinding shop.
Yeah, wait, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean? Because I'm fascinated by anything people do with their hands. And so, it's also not easy work at all.
Yeah, so basically, like for all, most of my experience is in oil field. So I've made oil field parts for downhole, upstream, completion, wellhead, all kinds of stuff. Now, that company, they specialize in ball valve technology. And if you've ever seen a ball valve, like on a pit maker pit, you turn the valve and it has a bore through it. So it's closed one side and it's open the other.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Right? So though they carbide coat those to add strength and durability and rust resistance to that. And we have to take that carbide grinded ball and grind it spherically within 1/1000th of an inch.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy.
All the way around. So there's a lot of different techniques to achieve that on one specific ball. That was my first job.
Wow. How was that super repetitive, right?
Oh yeah, but at the same time you worked on a different variety of sizes.
Oh, okay.
So depending on the side, you had a different technique. You know, you would have to use a drill with a special made mandrel and just circle on top of the thing all the way like this for 12 hours a day until it was ground perfectly within 1/1000th.
Are there shavings and stuff all around? Like
it's coating. So carbide dust. So you were covered head to toe in a black dust. It's from all day. And you get home, you take a shower, you start coughing up black loogies. You wake up, you wake up still feeling dirty. So before you go in again, you take another shower.
Wow.
And you're still coughing up black loogies. My foreman, he literally croaked sitting there on the job, just fell over because his lungs had hardened from the years of breathing that stuff in. And fun fact, that shop is the one that blew up here in Houston. And they called
that's
all
the
that
one.
Damage.
Holy heck. Wait, so did you see him die on the spot?
No, I had already moved on.
Okay,
because I knew after a year.
This is the craziest conversation, Joe. You know, I love like, this. This is so interesting. That's a wild one.
different than your average barbecue combo.
I love it. Wow. That is, I mean, I don't love that he passed away. That's terrible. So then do you have any lung issues now?
No. Well, asthma? To be determined, you know, cause after that, I went into manual side, like standard lathing, milling, you know, using the old school stuff.
Yeah.
And then I moved within a few years, I had moved into CNC, which is automated machine.
Oh, the router.
And I've been doing automated machine for like 12 years.
Those machines are amazing. Those are so killer.
And if you're good at it, they pay well.
I can imagine. They're not easy to figure out. Like it's
No. But by the time I retired last year from machining, I had finally got to the point where I determined what you were going to pay me.
Wow.
Not the other way around. So I walked away from machining at 28.50. An hour, and that was 10 to 12 hours a day, you know.
That is not bad at all. Like there's people that would die for that. That's amazing.
And the cost though is, like I said, it's not watching your family grow up.
Yeah.
You know, and not being there, because that requires 12 hours to 14 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and then sometimes Saturday, and then sometimes Sunday.
Yeah.
And there was, right when my daughter was born, 2015, 14, well, like by 15, her first birthday, I worked like 4 months without missing a day, like just straight. And the way the market was, it was so bad that even though I did all that, I still couldn't afford to really give her first birthday party.
Oh my gosh.
So that was the wake up call, you know, like I've been spending all my time putting millions of dollars, millions upon millions and millions of dollars into
other people. Owners.
Yeah. And have nothing to show for it.
And that's it. And that's a huge wake up call for a lot of people. And a lot of people live their whole life that way. And then
it's hard, man. You're talking about changing your whole perspective on life. And that's hard to do.
And it's scary and it's, it's intimidating. It's the worst. So what was the moment that made you switch over? Like it's, cause there could be people listening to this thinking my life is going nowhere. And especially now with COVID, people get even further into depression. Or do you even know what that moment was, or was it just gradual?
Yeah, I do. I do. As far as like taking the leap and doing it full time for JQ.
Yeah.
That came last November.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, man. I'm fortunate. Like I met a lot of the right people. I bonded with a lot of the right pit masters. I made a lot of lifelong connections and friends. And our product has helped elevate us quickly.
Yeah.
But it was still very hard. It was still a grind. It was still the pop-ups that didn't pay off. It's still a lot of stuff. It's still a lot. And it's still scary to say, man, can I really do this? But last year, I was still coming back from my knee injury. I mean, and I still am. And it was just kind of like, I had already been disenfranchised with machining as an industry, you know, because the ups and downs of oil, and I was literally hanging in by a thread and just in wanting to take the leap.
Yeah.
And I joined a company because I left my last shop because they had me in a machine shop across the street from the tooling crib. Okay. And I had to walk back and forth like 4 or 5 times during just one setup, 2 to 3 setups a day, knowing that I had a bum knee, knowing that there were machines across the street that they could put me on, but they just needed me to make money on this machine. So forget my knee, forget anything.
And they knew you were injured.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally like limping because I had, by the time I went back to machining because I needed to go back to work,
yeah.
I had about 40 degrees of bend in my knee. If you're, that's 45. So
yeah.
I couldn't even make a right angle.
So was it fused together or was it the
no, ligaments? I ruptured my patellar tendon. And that's the one that holds your kneecap in place.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's the one up and down, not like the others.
And not the
my kneecap went from my knee to above into my thigh, like three, four inches.
Oh.
So when they got in there for surgery, they realized it was ruptured to the point that they couldn't reattach. So they had to make the choice to either graft or get a cadaver tendon. And so they grabbed a cadaver tendon and put it in my knee. So I have somebody's Achilles tendon in my knee as my other tendon now.
Yeah. My mom has some, like, she has cadaver in her back. She had lumbar spinal fusion in November.
Yeah, I tell you, man, like, it's such a little thing, like a tendon, but it has a definite impact on you. Like,
oh, yeah.
Waking up to knowing that somebody else had to die to help you.
Yeah, we talked about that a month ago. We were just talking about it. She's like, do I have this? I'm like, yeah, you do. And her pain was so high that,
it's hard to wrestle with.
But it's like that cycle. It's almost like what we were talking about with the chicken. Like it's giving back to, you know.
Yeah, like the ultimate, you know, like you've gone above and beyond serving your ultimate purpose. You know, hopefully in life you were given everything you need to serve your purpose, whatever it is, you know. And
it's the last gift that you give.
Is going much above and beyond any purpose that you ever had.
Yeah, because you'll never know necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I mean,
maybe you know. Maybe you find out everything.
Maybe you don't.
That part, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, right. We got 15 minutes.
So, yeah, this might go in a little longer than we thought. Now, were you cooking this whole time, like cooking for your family, or how did you get into the cooking portion?
Okay, so in 2012, I decided that, like, I literally, I was looking for something to take my focus from things that they didn't need to be focused on. And I just, it clicked one day. It was like, you know, start grilling, start smoking some. So it was like 2012, I bought a Weber kettle. I started watching Barbecue Pitmasters, and I seen this big chunky vato named Ernesto Cervantes
yes, sir.
Do this Texas episode. And I was like blown away. I'm like, that looks really fun. And that guy, he represents like me, you know, mm-hmm. like it was inspiring. So I started, you know, little by little, we got a little like $40 smoke and grill set from Walmart that my father-in-law gifted us. Just, man, rack a rib after pork butt. And then we moved to this house that we're in now, and I got gifted a little junky, you know, offset.
The offsets you see all around.
Yeah, I mean, it was a rusted junky, man. And I cooked my daughter's baby shower. I cooked a bunch of pork shoulders on that. And that was like 5 years ago, and everybody was blown away by how that came out.
How cool is that? What a great feeling, too.
It was great. It was good. Like, I don't even know if I've ever compared to that, like, blowing people's mind. Like, people come and eat our food. They expect good food. Mm-hmm. No one expected anything that day, and everybody was, like, awed, you know? And I was like, I want to do that again. You know, I want that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so by 2017, right as Harvey was doing its thing, and I decided to start trying to do pop-ups and stuff like that. And I was a big cyclist, a bicyclist, you know, and I did all the like social bikes rides around town. And did like 3-4 times a week, I would ride my bike with friends and everywhere around town. Well, a bunch of these social rides, they have a midpoint where they'll stop, have beers, a food truck will be there, something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, hey, what if I set up as the midpoint and we slang like barbecue sandwiches and stuff like that? So my wife hopped on this journey with me, man, and she's completely supporting me the whole way. So like on a Wednesday night, we would both get off work, start cooking. I would start cooking, she'd start prepping. And then Thursday, we'd get off work, haul out to the scene, set up our tent, sell as many sandwiches and tacos and whatever.
So you did, you were doing tacos at that time too?
We were doing tacos, but not like what we do now.
Yeah.
But it was the basis of what we ended up like, you know, going with.
Yeah.
But we had like literally like 45 minutes to an hour to try to serve as many people as we could, because that's all the midpoint is. It's like a 35, 40, you know, maybe an hour minute, hour break. And that was it, man. We would hit like 50, 60 tickets in that 1 hour.
Because so that taught you how to.
Most of the time it was just sandwiches, right? So I was just like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Bingo, boss. And just, and I really don't know how we jumped from there to the, like, the Houston barbecue scene, other than me becoming friends with Patrick Fegis on Facebook, him being like, hey, anybody out there want to come help us for a throwdown?
I was going to say, I knew it was connected somehow to JC and to Fulmer. Okay.
It was the second. I think it was the second throwdown.
Okay.
And I think Patrick had won the first, I think. And so he was shooting for a repeat. And I didn't really know Patrick or anything. We just kind of, I don't know how we met or anything. I don't really remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, DM'd him. I was like, hey, man, I'd love to help you. He's like, yeah, man, come on. And from that day, it was like indoctrination.
You're in that world that now you're in.
Right. We started cooking more and, you know, trying to do our best to get noticed, because it's the competition in Houston. We're all family, but it's like, you better, if you want to stand out, you better hustle and bustle it, right? Like, you got to work hard, man.
The bar is also set really high in Houston.
It's like the tippy top, man. Yeah. If you really want it, you really have to go and get it. And it was like literally after that, I went to one of his Patrick's first pop-ups at Holler Brewery after that. And this, I had met Robert Jacob Lerma at the throwdown, but he was at the pop-up taking his pictures. And, you know, he was like, hey, you know, so what's it going to be, man? I'm like, you know, well, you know, me and my wife, we work full time. You know, I work, and he just started going, you know what I'm doing, right? And the world's smallest violin. I'm like, you know what? He's like, look, man.
A little Tarantino reference right there.
Yeah, he was like, if not you, then who? And if not now, then when?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you don't, somebody else will. So it's only a matter of how bad you want it. because I guarantee you somebody wants it just as bad, if not more. So you need to take advantage and do what you can. Wow. Don't worry about all the working full time. You'll look back at it one day and know it was worth it. You might not see it now, but you will one day if you stay at it.
I didn't realize the Lerma connection too. Wow. Look at all those people. Like it was Cervantes that you saw, and then Feges, and then
my very first, outside of like Killens and Pearland, one of my best plate of barbecues ever came from Ronnie Killens' joint, ever, and it was like the inspiring meal. But after that 2017 top 50 list came out, The very next weekend we found ourselves at Snow's, and Rick Perry showed up. He was like just grabbing his food to go, and like Aaron Franklin shows up. He's holding flowers and whiskey. He's, you know, giving flowers to Tootsie and whiskey to Carrie. And I'm like, is this for real? Like, is this really it? And I didn't even know Clay at all, but he saw me admiring the pit. He's like, hey man, come back here. So he takes me to the back. Big old Robert Sierra is standing back there just hanging out. And I'm like, wow, you know, yeah. Like this is 2017. I don't really know anybody. These guys are stars in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And Robert's like, hey man, so what's up? What you gonna do? I'm like, yeah, I want to cook like a Tex-Mex style barbecue. He's like, oh, so you mean like Valentino's and 2M? I'm like, oh yeah. Who's that? And he's like, here, let me show you. And I'm like, holy Christ. Like it's all there. Like it's all there. These guys paved the way already. You know what I'm saying? Like they're building the blocks. I'm like, wow. And he's like, so let me ask you, are you good on social media and who's building your pit? I'm like, that's the first two questions that guy asked me. And I realized right then how important it is to know how good you are on social media and who's building your pit.
Wow, this is awesome. Yes, it's so true. That's so true.
So it was like from the minute I started, I've been getting tips and clues and hints on how to build your business and how to do this the right way, and show respect and not step on anybody's toes and not do anything to pollute the family. Just do it through working hard, making the right decisions, and just staying at it. Mm-hmm. Because the most thing I hear when people are like, man, you're doing so great. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I say the same. I'm like, we're very lucky. No, man, people see how hard you work.
Mm-hmm. And also too, I love what you're saying, that you're like the people that brought you to where you are today, because there's a lot of people who claim, like they act like it's just them. Like it's like just hard work. And then, but there's a lot of, you know, you need that help. It's a family.
It really is, man. Like if I ever do a dish that I'm inspired by somebody, I'm going to give them the love for it. Yeah. Like, we started doing birria, and you will never, whenever anybody asks me, where did I get? I'm like, Chef Arash Karat. Chef Arash did them at a throwdown a couple years ago. They were like one of the best tacos I've ever eaten. I had a pop-up last year. It was a taco collab. And I said, hey, Chef, will you teach me how to make birria? Oh. I said, yeah, man, no problem. I'll show you the easy way. I'll show you the hard way. I said, show me the easy way, man. But he showed me the basis of where, and then, you know, through my own research and I just took that and what I learned and created my own version. So I'm not technically, I'm not just using it. I'm making my own. It has my own.
It's a play off of, yeah.
You know, it's, Evan LeRoy told me, change four things. Any dish. You change four things about any recipe, it's your dish.
That is great advice. That's a great takeaway. There's like 80 takeaways from this. This is killer. No, this, so like, and Evan LeRoy, God, he has his hand.
I mean, man, you'll see his barbacado hop up on menus. You know, like things like that. Mm-hmm. Like that's an Evan LeRoy signature dish. And, you know, it's like, dude, just change four things. Change four things. Pay your homage. It's beautiful. It's a delicious dish. Pay your homage.
But you make it your own.
Yeah, make it your own. You know, don't just sit on somebody's thing. You know?
So then from 2017, were you doing pop-ups while you were working
full time.
And then in November of 2019 is when you jumped.
I had my 3-month review to see if I was going to go full time with the company I'd left, because they were like, well, you know, we need you to work faster. I'm like, you got me walking. I said, man, you know what? Maybe you need somebody else. So I went down the street same day, hired with a company that had been trying to recruit me for a while. After, you know, they knew the whole story. But it is what it is, man. Machining is a very high paced. You got to be fast. The faster you are, the more money you make. And that's true. And I prided myself on that. I couldn't go any faster. And after 3 months, we had the review and they were like, "No, we love everything. Your work is top notch. It's been a long time since we've had anybody that's had that skill. You know, there's nothing, but we just need you to go fast."
You're like, "God damn."
And I was, you know what, guys? Look, man, I appreciate everything y'all done for me. We had this talk when I came in here. I told you what the issue was going to be. If my knee allowed me to go any faster, it would. But you know what? I'm going to have to get up out of this meeting. I appreciate everything, but I'm going to go do my own thing. And this was right before Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Scary time.
I'm literally cutting off my income, my $70,000 income, right before the holidays. And I go home. I call my wife. I say, "Trust me."
Were you popping up a couple times a week? Like, was it
multiple? Yeah, we were.
I thought you were a few days.
Going at 4J Brewery, like, every other week. Mm-hmm. We were starting to get a lot of the press from Houston Chronicle, JC, the throwdowns. This year alone, I mean, the Butcher's Ball, one of the best events of the year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, man, we started getting invited to all these things to participate in, and it was like, okay, this is that moment where Lerma was talking about, you know, shit or get off the pot.
So let's talk about your menu. Let's talk about your food, because I don't want to, it's like we've talked, which is like the life part. Like that, this is really what I, these are why I do these. It's because I want to get to know you and your philosophy and who, your passion. That's really, it's the people that really matters. But the food, let's tell people if they're watching.
Sure.
Yeah.
So our initial concept was my mom standing out there with us. 2017, she would stand out there and roll fresh tortillas, literally fresh tortillas off. And we're like building tacos with our green sauce and onions right there. That was the first concept.
Yeah.
But she got injured real bad. So we had to change the way we did our thing. And so that's where I was like, let's go with this real, what I grew up eating. It wasn't like at home what I was inspired by so much. My mom's cooking is fantastic, top notch. I love it. But I wanted to take Tex-Mex a different direction. So I thought, you know, like a combo plate at a real Tex-Mex restaurant, it's going to have like chimichangas, enchiladas with the crispy taco, crunchy taco, like things like that, like a real Tex-Mex combo plate. And that's what I grew up eating with my dad on the road. Hey, man, that's what we started doing. It was like chimichangas was the first knot. And we did that with caramelo tortillas. And it was a hit. That got us put on the map. Boom. That was the dish. So if anybody ever asked me what was the turning point, it was that dish. We did a pop-up with Willow's Texas Barbecue with Willow and Jasmine. And that was one of the dishes. Wow.
Okay, so for the uninitiated, a chimichanga is?
It's a tortilla, brisket and beans. We did refried beans, beef tallow, refried beans inside wrapped up.
Oh, with beef tallow. Ah.
Yeah, and then you fry it off. And then it's basically a gas station burrito. That's where I was going with it. You know, like that awesome gas station burrito. You eat beef and bean.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. And then we put queso on top of it and call it a day. Yeah. So that was kind of the direction we were going. So we had tacos, chimichangas, and then we added tamales. And so we started actually having ways to build a real combo plate. And our sides are like arroz con pollo, where I smoke the chicken, and then my wife will pull it, and she makes the arroz and stews it all together. Oh. Her dad's recipe for our beans, which I think killer.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Like that. And then we had like a pop-up with Reveille. We did a luau. So I really started being able to like push the boundaries. And we did like a beef cheek lau ball, which I took beef cheek, sliced it up. We did a black bean and corn relish with a honey vinaigrette, lime and honey vinaigrette, and like white rice and lime white rice, like stuff like that. And so now, no denying it, birria.
And birria too, it's like, I'm in Los Angeles, so there's a lot of it, but there's also a lot of bad. Explain really what it really is or what should be. A
lot of bland birria, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, and I see it on like on the Instagram. I'm like, I wish I want that one. That's 5 miles away.
Birria basically is, traditionally it's like goat meat stewed down with Mexican spices, chilies, and then you pull the meat and then you use the dripping, it's not really dripping, it's actually a consomme or your broth. And you infuse it into the dishes. Traditionally, I think that it was probably more eaten like a soup. like a caldo, you know, and then it kind of made its way into a taco, but then it crossed the border into your scene over there, the Calimex side, and it just blew up, man. And there's a lot of guys over there that are doing it top-notch level.
Are they cooking it in the consomme, like on a flat top? Is that how you're getting? Because they're using mozzarella too, right?
Yeah. Like you could use a lot of different varieties of cheese. We use mozzarella because it's great melting and it's readily available, right? Like, so, but you could use any variety of good melty cheese. We do our, it's weird. You can find it cooked a variety of ways. The way we do it is that I take our brisket, I make a chili paste for, and then I cube our brisket and our oxtails, and I marinate the brisket in that chili paste overnight. And then I reserve some of that chili paste and the water from making that chili paste. And then I wake up in the morning, I start the smoker, I put that meat on the grill for a couple hours. And then I put it into the pot, I take the rest of that chili paste, I take the rest of that water, and then I add a little bit more water, some more spices and chilies into it, and let it go for 4 hours. And it's usually pull apart tender, ready to go. I prep it by getting all the meat chopped, ready to go. Add a little bit of the consomme into that pan, put it in a hot oil, and then I put a pot of consomme onto the grill top. I use a 36-inch griddle top. And I have oil that I also take a little bit of that chili, and I'll infuse oil with that chili.
Okay.
And I have it there. So dip your tortilla into the chili oil, you put it on the plancha, get it nice and hot, flip it, get it nice and hot, add your cheese, add your meat, add your onions and cilantro, add your consomme, fold, flip, serve.
And it has crispy edges, and then do you serve it with the consomme? Is that, or with
We serve with consomme. And the crazy thing is, we found out the hard way that that's not the case everywhere. So like, we went up to a place in Austin, a real well-known place. It was like $2 tacos, and you're like, yeah. And it didn't come with consomme. No, you had to buy, the only size they give you was like a 32-ounce cup of consomme for like $8-$9.
Like, that's for the family. Yeah.
I get you, but so you have two tacos or you four or 10, mm-hmm. you still have to buy the 32 ounce.
I went to a place recently, it seemed recently, it was a year ago, but it was, they give you a small cup of consomme, but then they would, I think if you wanted more, you had to buy like a large thing.
In no, this place,
we're buying it. And is it supposed to be good for hangovers or for colds? And
For hangover, I would go with menudo still, you know, like that's the...
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can, or a caldo, like an actual beef caldo with vegetables, something hearty.
Yeah.
I think birria is, as opposed to where like menudo, there's a lot of fat still, birria is a lot of fat, and it's really thick, it's really, really, like ours is like very...
super filling, right? Hearty.
Yes, it's just super filling, like very, everything's really savory. You know, so.
Are people ordering like a two tacos and a like?
Right now we do pre-orders.
Okay.
And
I saw on your website. Yeah, the pre-order is closed today, but okay.
Right. So like, we'll open this weekend. We're taking off for my daughter's birthday. She just turned 6.
Awesome. That's nice.
So by next weekend we'll open it again. We'll set up somewhere, just fulfill orders that we have through the week. And so for that, we only give the option of 6 or 10.
So people are just straight, are they buying sides too, or just straight up just tacos?
No, like, so we'll serve it. We're doing our pork carnita crispy taco as well, which has a lot of the same technique. And then like barbecue by the pound, which all comes with like scratch made corn tortillas, cilantro, cebolla, and stuff like that. So like, you could come pick up on a Saturday, you can come get a few pounds of barbacoa from us with scratch made tortillas and everything, and go to town just like you would in any meat market.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that's keeping the tradition alive in my
eyes. That is keeping the tradition, especially for the people who haven't ever had that. That's killer. You could also buy ready-made tacos, or is it all kits kind of like?
So sometimes we do ready-made tacos. It can get real hectic for me because I've spent all night cooking.
Yeah,
and I got to stand in front of that plancha for another few hours, which is equally exhausting. So like if we get a ton of orders right away and there's like suddenly I need to do 45 tacos right now of just birria, and then we have to figure out how to put the flour tortillas or the corn tortillas down and get the other tacos down.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can get hectic. So right now, I guess generally we're trying to just do.
So during this time,
Or the crispy taco together, those two tacos, and then like by the pound options. So you can technically build the same thing that we're doing.
Yeah. But as things change, as things lighten up.
Oh, man, our trailer's coming, bud. Like, it's supposed to be here from Georgia this month.
Okay.
They'll finish all the fab, adding the equipment to it this month to next month. And I'm shooting for end of August, early September, God willing, hopefully.
Oh, yeah,
please. I'll get our trailer open and operating.
Oh, nice. So where will that be located, or driving all around? Or?
No, I'm parking that. I'm parking it somewhere, man. And whatever business I can do from there is what I'll do from there.
So follow you on social media to see those updates.
For sure.
And will that be multiple days then?
Yeah. So I at least hope to start for weekends, like maybe Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, okay. And maybe expand from there. But I really want to focus on a high quality product with, you know, really like attention to the Tex-Mex side of things and just change the scope of what it means. And then maybe build more days into that. But like, you're talking about tamales, birria, barbacoa, you know, and that's a lot of prep and all those kinds of things. Yeah. So I would rather just focus those things a few days a week, do it at a high level, and just try to sell out. You know?
And will that be a place where people are waiting, or you'll have online orders as well? You're going to keep that kind of aspect?
I don't think we'll ever go back from having online orders. I don't think we'll ever go back from that. I think it's too lucrative.
It makes sense, but for parts.
It's too easy.
It's
too easy. Everything's easy. By the time I go shopping for the pop-up, I've already been paid for the pop-up, you know? So
no, I know. I've talked to many people. It makes a lot of sense.
You're never actually taken out of your business bank account. Mm-hmm. If you can do it that way, you know, you're just adding to it.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you that sense of security, that sense of, of knowledge, knowing that this is already sold. I think that's like, I'm really good friends with Michelle and Andrew from Moose Craft Barbecue, and this has worked for them during this. It's worked out really well, and a lot of people are doing that. It makes sense.
Now, can I afford to take a living from it right now?
Yeah, probably
not quite. Like, you know, it's still like we're still dependent on my wife's income. She's been essential the whole time,
yeah.
And she makes, you know, enough to sustain us. You know, so it's enough to sustain the business and continue on with our future endeavors. Hopefully after a few months of this passing, it'll be enough for us to actually take an income from it, you know? So
social media, and like, what's all the ways people can get a hold of you? So that way they can.
Yeah, no problem. So on Facebook, JQ's Tex-Mex Barbecue, you go to our page, like and follow our page.
For sure.
Everything from Instagram is where I post. It all goes to Facebook, Instagram at JQS Tex-Mex Barbecue. And that's where we really do a lot of our bulk of our social media.
And off Instagram, you can link to your website.
Yeah, that's right. And then whenever the weekends we're taking orders, we let you know early in the week, hey, the websites are open. And then we let you know in the week, hey, the website's closing, get your orders in. And so get your orders in those days. By that Saturday or Sunday, you know where to pick it up. And we just drive by, we drop it off in your car and you go.
That's so great. I am so, so, so happy that we got this to work today. Cause today,
yeah,
even today, it's been a challenge like overall to do this. And then today was, but it shows that we both wanted to, and it was meant to be. So I'm really, really happy.
I really appreciate you taking the time with us, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to visit when I'm able to.
Maybe you'll see me over there on your side of things before too long.
Please let me know. Yeah,
I
yeah.
want to do some tacos and stuff over there. So good hearing from you, brother.
Yeah. Great to talk to you. Have a great day. And I hope your daughter's birthday is wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.